Here's a juicy clip from this week's episode of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show.
Balanced, beautiful, and abundant. We got to do that in our own unique way. And if we're trying to do it based on an influencer telling us what works for them, we've completely outsourced our own health to somebody else's ideology or what works for their body. And what I really want us to do is insource. And in order to do that, you just said it beautifully, you know, knowing your body can tolerate that butter. So like a ketogenic diet would be a death sentence for your body. It would feel horrible. The cold plunge is causing you stress. There's nothing positive about that stress, right? So that's insourcing, and that's beautiful. Set the pace, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the drive. No slow motion, I'm alive. Power surging. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. We're taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. We have a very special guest on the show today. She is an expert in all things functional nutrition and so much more. Welcome to the show, Andrea Nakayama. Thank you, Rebecca. I'm excited to be here with you.
So wonderful to see you again. I know we had such a great pre-interview a couple months ago, so this has been a long-awaited interview. And before we get into it, I'm going to tell my audience a little bit about your background. So Andrea Nakayama is a pioneer in functional medicine and personalized nutrition. She is the founder of the Functional Nutritional Alliance. She has led thousands of clients and teaches coaches and clinicians around the globe about health and wellness holistically. And she has dedicated her life to using food as medicine. She is the host of the 15 Minutes Matrix podcast and a sought-after nutrition expert with some of the toughest clinical cases in the world. She teaches people how to bring the body back to balance through a combination of science and self-awareness. So Andrea, I know your career started with a very sad turn of life events. How did losing your husband at a very young age lead you to devote your life to healing people through functional medicine?
Yeah, it even goes back a little bit earlier than that. My late husband, Isamu, was diagnosed with a brain tumor when I was 7 weeks pregnant with our first and only child. And I had already been dabbling with nutrition and was really into cooking for my own health issues. And at the time, I didn't know, but looking back, I think it was the precursors of my own autoimmune disease that I was kind of trying to navigate. But when Isamu was diagnosed, we were going to do everything, anything and everything we could do to sustain his life as long as we could. He was given 6 months to live, and we wanted to extend that lifespan. So I started doing research, seeing where we could bring in different nutrients, look at food as medicine, and really offering him that as an opportunity. And of course, he was game for anything as long as the research was there. So that was kind of my boot camp into the realm of nutrition and food as medicine. And then it wasn't until years after he passed that I realized this was my calling, that I had really found a place that lit me up, that I was excited, where I could fill gaps and really be of service. So it was, you know, it started before he was even sick, but then kind of grew during that time as I realized some of the gaps in our medical system.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine how stressful that must have been, because boot camp is right. Like, you're trying to keep the love of your life alive on planet Earth as long as possible using functional nutrition. So talk about doing a deep dive, and then you actually fell in love with it. The more you studied it, the more you loved it and decided to make it your dharma.
So yes, Yeah, it's a good word for it, Rebecca. And I didn't call it functional nutrition. I didn't know what to call it then. And I do want to say, you know, Isamu was given 6 months to live. He did live 2.5 years. So he died when our son was 19 months old. So I always like to share. I don't know what that was. It could have been love. It could have been nutrients. It could have been all the different things, but he did outlive his prognosis.
Wow. Well, that is a very potent beginning to a beautiful lifetime mission. So you say we're in a root cause revolution. What does that mean to you, Andrea?
Yeah. So oftentimes when we're experiencing signs or symptoms, or we receive a diagnosis or two, our instinct is to go and address that. Let me get rid of the migraine or the hot flashes, or I'm experiencing perimenopause, or I just got a prediabetes diagnosis, or like I have a Hashimoto's diagnosis. I think of that as top down. That's what I call tier three, dismantle the dysfunction. When we take a root cause approach, we're asking why is this happening in the body, not just what do I do about it. So when I talk about the field of medicine, I'm not here to disparage it. It does something and it does it really well, and it's doing it better and better all the time. But it is very symptom based and it's very fix and protocol based. And what we're seeing with more and more people that have chronic health issues, meaning they're just not getting better no matter what they do, is that those protocols don't work, that we have to get to the individuality and we need systems thinking and root cause methodology to help us do that. So Rebecca, I have something that I call three roots, many branches. Mm. The sign, the symptom, and the diagnosis are the branches on the tree. If you can name any sign, symptom, or diagnosis you have, from a headache to, you know, restless leg to insomnia to hot flashes, those are branches on the tree. But from my perspective and my scope of practice, we're coming down to the trunk, down deeper still to the roots. And I will say there's always three roots when we have chronic health concerns, but really even deeper into the soil or the terrain, where do those roots live? And if we can nourish where the roots live, we change the expression of the branches. So again, when I say top down or bottom up, functional nutrition is a lifestyle medicine approach that's going from the roots up to the branches.
So what are the three roots?
Yes, the three roots for any chronic condition are always our genes, mm-hmm. our digestion, and our inflammation. Now, how we address those is going to be different based on who we are, but we usually have a genetic predisposition. It doesn't mean our genes are going to express, so nothing is written in stone with our genes. Our digestion, can't talk about nutrition without talking about digestion. It is where food meets physiology, and inflammation. All three need to be addressed if we're truly to change the expression of those branches without constantly playing whack-a-mole, which is a lot of what we end up doing when we're only looking at a medical approach.
So why do you think that 1 out of 2 people have prediabetes, 1 out of 3 people are getting cancer? Heart disease is the number one killer in America, but yet in China and other parts of the world, they're not having the metabolic chronic conditions and the health crisis that we are.
Such a great question. And there's so many factors. So I like to say that what we're experiencing is multifactorial. So we can look at our environment, our lifestyle, our food. We can't just blame it on one thing. It's all the things. And we are ecological beings. So we are impacted by it all. And just like you talk about those 7 pillars, you know, all things are going to impact us if we are not safe and we're not feeling safe in certain aspects of our lives. That really incites our stress hormones, our lack of safety. Everything impacts the body. So it really comes down to, in its most simplest form, a different lifestyle and a different way of honoring life from the minute we wake up till the minute we go to sleep, and how we interact and what we do and every minute in between.
I mean, there's, you know, people say there's plastic everywhere, from the almond milk. I think I'm being healthy drinking unsweetened almond milk. It's in plastic. I have, like, you know, a healthy food meal delivery service. It's in plastic. What kind of tips do you have for someone like me who is health conscious, but now that I notice everything is in plastic, I'm like, oh my God, how am I supposed to even live? Like,
yeah, I know. It's so overwhelming and there's so many factors. And I really like to simplify versus getting super complicated. So one of the things I want to encourage everybody to do is start where you are. So Rebecca, you may be super health conscious and realize, like, wait a minute, I don't want my almond milk in plastic. Is there a glass option? Or is there a local option? Or can I easily make my own almond milk? That might be where you're starting. Somebody else might be like, almond milk, why would I drink almond? Right. And so we have to really, exactly. So I do not subscribe to dietary theories or any theories that are going to overwhelm us. When it comes to food, and I'm just going to talk about food for a minute, I have three principles that we can all choose to adopt based on where we are. So those three principles are: eat fat, fiber, protein at every meal or snack. Don't measure, don't clock it. You don't need to wear a continuous glucose monitor. Just fat, fiber, protein at every meal or snack. Principle number two, eat the rainbow. We're going to get a lot of our fiber. We're also going to get a lot of the nutrients and phytonutrients that our bodies need to thrive and survive. And principle number three is know your personal yes, no, maybe list. And so you may have a no of cow dairy because you notice something that doesn't work for you, but we all can tune in, and that might be our first place to go, what makes me feel better? What makes me feel worse? And where am I not sure? What's a maybe? And so we have to start where we are, which is very individual versus all following a certain protocol or diet or way of living.
What would be a perfect snack that would be an example of fat, fiber, protein?
Right. Good question. So again, this is going to be very personal to what we do. So let's say you're eating an apple for a snack. I might say, put some nut butter on that apple. If you can't, some sunflower seed butter on that. You know, like, what is it that you can do that just says, like, how do I think, okay, my apple is fiber, there's fiber in there, and it's a phytonutrient, gives me red foods, and my nut butter gives me protein and fat, right? So I just had fat, fiber, protein in that snack. If I have a smoothie and I'm putting a banana in there, can I get some flaxseed, which again gets me fiber, it gets me fat, it gets me a little protein. Maybe I'm putting some collagen protein in there, or my milk gives me protein. Just play with it and see, what do I usually eat as a snack, and does it give me fat, fiber, protein?
So I don't hear carbs in that equation. Are carbs to be avoided, including complex carbs? How do you feel about carbs?
Are they? I mean, all those plant foods are complex carbs. So all of those eat the rainbow foods are complex carbs. I am not, again, I'm not subscribing to any one dietary theory. So if you like grains and you want to eat grains, you eat grains and figure out what those grains are. And if you're eating bread and you want that to be your snack, again, get some fiber and fat and protein in there, and then it becomes your snack. I personally, gluten is on my no list, but I used to not eat grains, but now I do eat grains, and grains have a lot of B vitamins, a lot of the nutrients that help with our brains and our hearts and our hormones. And so I want to get us out of the kind of narrow thinking of being on a diet and doing it right or wrong, and allow us to live. You asked about how people in China and Japan and other countries have less disease. they're less obsessive about all the different things, and they are just organically, naturally eating more whole foods. I told you before we hit record that my 24-year-old son, the son I was pregnant with, lives in Tokyo now. He loves the food, and he's amazed by how inexpensive the healthy food is. Whereas when he was living in New York, it was hard for him to eat. He would cook a meal for himself and he'd feel like, I just spent so much money cooking a meal that lasts me 2 days. And in Tokyo, he can eat healthy. He prefers to eat healthy, but he can eat healthy and inexpensively. And that's, again, just living life as opposed to this tight prescription that keeps the joy out of so much of what we do. And joy is an equation of our health, as you know, as well.
I love that. I think joy is the evidence of God. It's the evidence of success. And now we have one of the top functional nutritionists in the world saying it's an evidence of health. We are going to
cut longevity.
We are going to cut to a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some common root causes behind chronic illness overlooked by Western medicine. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be right back. I am so excited. I created something special just for you. It's called the Balanced Beautiful Bundle. And inside this bundle, you're going to get instant access to a PDF copy of my best-selling book, How to Make a Six-Figure Income Working Part-Time. You're going to get my best health and beauty tips to help you glow from the inside out. You'll get my Elegant Warrior Manifesto, a daily reminder of your power, grace, and purpose. You'll get my Abundance Journal to help you manifest more joy, love, and prosperity. And you'll get a daily journal reminder to keep your mindset strong and your energy and your vibe high every single day. This bundle is your shortcut to balance, beauty, and abundance in an elegant way. So grab your copy now by going to the show notes and start living your most balanced, beautiful, abundant life today. Hey there, it's Rebecca, your magnetic abundance mentor. Let me ask you something. Are you feeling stuck, burned out, or like life just isn't as juicy as you know it can be? If you're nodding right along, it's time for a breakthrough. My coaching program is designed to help you align your life in all seven pillars of abundance: spiritual, physical, emotional, romantic, mental, social, and financial. So you can finally live that big, bold, sexy, and adventurous life you deserve. And here's the best part. I'm inviting you to schedule a breakthrough call with me. No pressure, no sales gimmicks, just a genuine chance to experience my coaching firsthand and get crystal clear on what is next for you. Because your best life is not a someday thing, it's a right now thing. So click the link in the show notes to book your breakthrough call and let's start making magic together. Your next level is calling you. This podcast review is from Bring It On, and she says that the Balance Beautiful and Abundant show is amazing and inspiring. She goes on to say, I believe this show is a place where women can come and really learn and grow. Rebecca creates a strong and safe space for women to share and be vulnerable. I highly recommend this podcast. Thank you so much. And it is absolutely a safe place for all women to come and learn. Thanks for being a great listener. Welcome back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. We are talking to a functional nutrition expert. She is someone who talks about food, lifestyle, mindset, all things holistic when it comes to health and wellness. I know we did talk about some chronic illnesses, some common root causes that maybe Western medicine isn't aware of behind chronic illnesses.
Yeah, so Yeah, that's good. But I think it allows us to get into the soil a little bit. So I talked about roots and soil. So I said the three roots for any chronic condition are the genes, digestion, and inflammation. Let's talk about the genes for a minute. So, you know, there's a lot happening in today's world where they want to sell us our story of our genes as if it's written in stone what's going to happen to us. And there's a brilliant field of science called epigenetics. And the epigenetics are the factors that surround or bathe our genes that influence whether they're expressed. When we get those genetic tests or the really genomic tests that we're getting, we are seeing what we might be predisposed to, but we don't know if those genes are turned on or off. So we have the influence in our own lives to impact whether our genes are turned on or off. And that's what epigenetics are. So the factors that impact our genes are our food, our movement, our environment, and our mindset. All of those factors influence our genomic expression, and we can really play with them in different ways. So we have to think about not doing it right, but how do I bring in the food that nourishes my body? Those three areas I talked about, fat, fiber, protein, eat the rainbow, know your yes, no, maybe. You're going to go far with just playing with those arenas. So food, movement, again, there's no right way to move, but we do need to be moving. As we're aging, we might want to be working on, yes, weight-bearing movement, but also balance. Mm-hmm. I'm really obsessed with my balance practice as I age. And environment, that can be, are we breathing in toxins? Are we drinking our food from plastic, as you mentioned? But it can also be our relationships. Do we have toxic relationships in our lives that are causing us stress because we're constantly up against incompatibility? So again, food, movement, environment, and mindset, those are the factors that influence the expression of our genes. And that's where I love to invite people to focus. Mm-hmm. As opposed to doing it on the tight and narrow. I'm following keto, I'm intermittent fasting, I'm like all the things that people do in quote unquote nutrition that aren't about their individual needs. If we play in a wider field, we have so much more success.
What I'm hearing you say is there is a biohacking movement that's like everybody has to do it this way. You have to have butter in your coffee and fast 16 hours and do a cold plunge. Like for me, I have no gallbladder. My gallbladder got removed. So butter in my coffee is
correct
idea because I have no way to process it.
Exactly.
A cold plunge, like, I don't know. That is like horrifying to me. Like it's literally like self-torture. So
yes, exactly.
Listen to your intuition about your body and what feels good and what doesn't.
Balanced, beautiful, and abundant. We got to do that in our own unique way. And if we're trying to do it based on an influencer telling us what works for them, we've completely outsourced our own health to somebody else's ideology or what works for their body. And what I really want us to do is insource, really insource. And in order to do that, you just said it beautifully, you know, knowing your body can't tolerate that butter. So like a ketogenic diet would be a death sentence for your body. It would feel horrible. The cold plunge is causing you stress. There's nothing positive about that stress, right? So that's insourcing and that's beautiful.
My next question is, I know a lot of women who listen to this show are in midlife and they are wanting to be balanced, beautiful, and abundant well into, you know, their health span. We don't even call it age span. It's a health span now. So what is the science behind how negative beliefs about aging can actually diminish our health? And what is ageism in society costing women? It's a double question.
I love this because this really brings us back to that mindset part of the soil or terrain that surrounds our genes, of that epigenome. And I have to admit that mindset is something I've always had a hard time with in my science, you know, coming into this from a science perspective. But I've been leading a longevity book club, and we've read some books that really bring in the science of mindset, which has been fascinating. So really what it shows us is that our beliefs and our mindset are not fluff. They too are inputs. Remember I said we're ecological beings. So when we ingest a narrative that aging is decline, the brain actually flags that as a threat. And threat chemistry is cortisol, it's inflammation. And what happens is it narrows our blood vessels, it disrupts our sleep. It blunts the immune system. It interferes with memory. And so the opposite is also true. And I'll talk a little bit about the book that leads to some of the science, or two books in particular. But when we relate to midlife as kind of a training ground for wisdom and capacity, we see better heart rate variability, steadier glucose patterns, and we tend to embrace more pro-health behaviors. And two researchers that I really love that have written books about this are Dr. Ellen Langer, that's work coming out of Harvard University, and she wrote a book called The Mindful Body that we read in the Longevity Book Club that shows how these negative and positive beliefs, even these diagnoses we embody about ourselves, play themselves out in our life or health span. So if we get a diagnosis of pre-diabetes and we embrace that, we're more likely to develop diabetes than if we didn't get that diagnosis, even if those numbers are one apart. So two people.
That's crazy. Yeah. I've been diagnosed with pre-diabetes for 20 years and it's literally not, I don't eat any sugar and it's barely moving. So it's like, maybe that's where my homeostasis is. Like it's 5.5, 5.6. It's not like life or death. A lot of people take diabetes medication to get there, but every time I go to the doctor, they're like, oh, you need to be on a pre-diabetes drug. And I'm just like, but why? I feel great and I watch my sugar. So what would you say about that?
Yeah, I mean, Ellen Langer's work talks about this so beautifully. So the research she did was that people, parties, groups that came in and got a 5.6 in hemoglobin A1C or a 5.7 hemoglobin A1C have different results going forward. Now, any endocrinologist will tell you that there's nothing different between a 5.6 and a 5.7, that those two people could have come in the next day and had opposite results. Yes. But the person who gets the 5.7 that gets the label, you are pre-diabetic, is more likely to get diabetes. So why? What happens? Do they try to go too strict and then they can't stick to it? So they actually are fluctuating more. Do they believe it? I'm destined. This is my destiny. I'm just going to get a pre-diabetes. I'm just going to get diabetes. And the people who have the 5.6 or the 5.5 are less likely to develop diabetes. So her work is really fascinating. One of her most notorious experiments was taking older men in their 80s and putting them in an environment that was 20 years prior. So everything, the magazines, the television, the shows, like they're like, you have to carry your suitcase up to your room. Like everything was 20 years prior. And after a period of time, their lab markers reversed because they were living life like they were 20 years younger.
This is so good for me, Andrea, because I moved from LA to Cincinnati, 5 minutes from my old high school, and I'm playing tennis where I spent my entire childhood playing tennis every day after school. So I'm living that experiment now.
Yes.
I sweat, my biomarkers are getting better. My HRV is getting better and my resting heart rate's getting better. Maybe this is why. Maybe it's being the work of this Mindful Body book research. I really
yes. Yeah, I love that story. Yes. So how we live and how we embrace what we're doing really does shift what's happening internally. So that idea that we're younger, and there's another book I'd love to share with you too. Yeah. So by Rebecca Levy, who's out of Yale University, her work and her book is called Breaking the Age Code. And she looks more at the sociological impact. So how we think about aging and how aging and that sociological thought about aging impacts us. So when we are treated like we don't matter anymore, like our roles are changing, how we embody that belief and live into that as well. And again, you asked this brilliant question earlier about chronic disease and other countries, and it's true of aging also. So when we live in a more ageist culture, we age less healthfully than when we live in a non-ageist culture that embraces their elderly and actually honors the wisdom that comes with aging. And that's really fascinating to me, that our own mindset about health, about aging, is not only self-evident, it's fed to us by the world that we're in.
I hear men and women in their 40s and 50s calling themselves old person.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm just an old person. Don't mind me. I'm like, wait, what? Your cells are listening to you call yourself old and they're going to age.
Exactly.
Who's the guy who did the Japanese guy who did the water experiment, the water molecule experiment?
Oh, right, right.
I keep
forgetting the name too.
I referred to them in my book, but that's, your cells are hearing you call yourself old.
Yes.
So, and I think it's so internalized by men and women in this American culture. We're obsessed with youth. Whereas in Europe, in different cultures, you know, older people are smart, they're sexy, they're not like thrown out to pasture and worthless like they are here. But I do think it's changing. I think that there's a revolution happening with ageism and women, and it's people like you and I. The last woman who was on my podcast is a pro-aging influencer. She's 57 and getting a great modeling career off the ground. So I think it is slowly but surely changing in our generation, because
yes,
Generation X, we flat out refuse to get old. So mindset or body set. So there's a lot of people that have to like, wow, Generation X, they say that when we were 15, we acted like we were 30 and looked like we're 50. We act like we're 30 and look like we're 30. So we're just locked in.
That's so true. And I hear even the language, and you know, Rebecca Levy does a really good job in Breaking the Age Code of challenging how we are talking about it, and even saying like, I'm 59, but I feel like I'm 39, right? Like even that is like, why am I not feeling like I'm 59? And this is what it feels like. Feels awesome, right? Like that, just even watching for where the language around us tells a certain narrative that there's something that's supposed to be 59 that's different than 39. So I have to say I feel 39 instead of saying I feel 59. This is what 59 feels like.
Hey, yeah. 59 hey, you could still have 40 or 50 more years.
Like, yes.
That could be the new midlife. So
exactly.
That's amazing. Well, we're going to cut to a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to ask Andrea about the myth behind sex hormones as the primary problem to solve in menopause. We will be right back after this quick commercial break. And thank you, everyone, for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. Did you know that about 90% of your serotonin is actually produced in your gut? That's why when your gut is happy, you're happy. And that's exactly why I drink Amari Happy Juice. It's a delicious, easy daily drink that helps me boost my mood, focus, and motivation from the inside out. It combines gut-nourishing mentabiotics with brain-fueling Amari Edge Plus to support the gut-brain axis and help you feel more energized, clear, and resilient all day long. Ready to feel less blah and more on top of your game? check out Amari Happy Juice. You have a special discount in the show notes, and your happy starts in the gut. Are you ready to reset, realign, and rise into your best year ever? Join me January 23rd through 26th at the beautiful Amara Resort and Spa in stunning high-vibe Sedona, Arizona. We'll set powerful intentions, create customized affirmations, and design vision boards using my 7 Pillars of Abundance framework so that you can make 2026 your most aligned and abundant year ever. You'll enjoy deep connection, breathtaking views, and total relaxation at the newly renovated Amara Resort, complete with a luxurious spa, fitness center, and zero-edge infinity pool. Spots are limited, so head to the show notes or message me directly on Instagram at Rebecca E. Whitman to learn more and claim your spot today. You guys know I'm all about the mind-body connection, but did you know that your skin is part of that too? Stress doesn't just live in your head, it shows up on your face. That's why I'm obsessed with Skin to Mind. It's the first skincare line to target the skin-brain axis. Their sea mist ferment is collected from the sea breeze of the Fiji Islands, and it helps calm visible stress in your skin, while their neuroscents actually boost feelings of optimism and balance. It's skincare that not only works on your skin, but your mood too. Go to the show notes and grab your exclusive discount and experience it for yourself. Your glow will thank you. Welcome back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I am here with functional nutrition expert, Andrea Nakayama. Andrea, what is the myth behind sex hormones as a primary problem to solve during menopause?
Oh my gosh, this I could get on a soapbox about because I'm actually writing a whole article or chapter about it right now. And I just want to say I am pro hormone therapy. It doesn't work for everybody, and it's not the be-all, end-all fix that we're making it out to be. So we really are taking an approach to hormones in today's menopause industrial complex that I don't actually
You mean that this is like there's a lot of money being made off women in menopause?
We do. Yes, we are. The algorithm is there. We are saying we have symptoms. I mean, I'm postmenopausal at this point, but what I'm seeing is that we're treating perimenopause like it's a pathological situation. We're treating menopause like it's a pathological situation. They are natural transitions in life. If you are experiencing signs or symptoms in relation to this phase of life, those symptoms should be addressed. They're not always related to the hormones. They may be also something that can be addressed in other ways than hormones, but we're using hormone therapy as the fix for all the signs and symptoms that arise during these life transitions. These life transitions, women have lived through them if they've lived as long as we have, which also, you know, is a newer thing, but women have lived with these transitions. It doesn't require hormone therapy to live with vitality through these transitions. And when we are looking only to hormones, we're missing that deeper, those roots in that soil I was talking about that are going to help us with more sustainable results. Again, for anybody listening who wants to get on their hormones are the answer. I am not saying that we don't need hormones, that estrogen isn't supportive for our bones and our brains and our hearts. It is. And there are other ways to support our bones and our brains and our hearts if hormones don't work for you, if you can't take them. And when we're doing them, I just want to caution women to start low and go slow. A lot of times the way that hormone therapy is being administered is according to a protocol. It's a very Western approach, and it's often more in a dose than our body might need and more hormones, a cocktail, that we might not need all at one time. So really just cautioning us to take a slower approach in and to recognize that we're kind of in uncharted territory here in terms of the way hormones are being administered in healthcare. And we should just pay attention there. What works for our own body? I will say, hormone therapy doesn't work for my body. And I've had to work around that and look at all the reasons that might be the case, but not as a goal to get to hormone therapy, but as a goal to do self-care. So it's a complicated topic that I could talk about for hours. But in short, the problem may not be the hormone. It may be other things like your sleep or your digestion. And our hormone metabolization is very important for how we can actually utilize what we're bringing in.
So what are five physiological elements to focus on during menopause that are apart from hormone therapy?
Yeah, I'm going to just take it back to what I call our non-negotiables, and I'm going to give you three okay. foundation ones. So sleep, mm-hmm. poop, mm-hmm. and blood sugar balance. Now, sleep is going to be key for all of our detoxification and the support of our hormone metabolization. If we are not eliminating properly our poop, we're not excreting the excess hormones that our body does not need. And so we have to realize that when it comes to hormones, we create them, we transport them, we utilize them, and we excrete them. So if we're putting more into the body and they cannot be transported through the bloodstream, utilized by the receptor cells, and gotten rid of through our poop, we're actually recirculating hormones that we may not need and that could be damaging for the body. So sleep, poop, and then blood sugar balance. This brings us back to that fat, fiber, protein. Let's make it simple. But when we think about hormones, and if people are listening and not watching, I'm making a little pyramid or triangle with my hands, and we have to think about blood sugar, insulin, cortisol, thyroid hormones, and sex hormones. Again, if we're looking to address the sex hormones, the estrogen, the progesterone, the testosterone, but we're not creating that foundation, we are missing the opportunity to build on a solid infrastructure that helps with our sex hormone utilization and metabolization.
So what are some high inflammation foods that we can avoid to help abate chronic illness? Because I know inflammation is genes, digestion, inflammation. It's a root cause.
Yes.
So what are some, I know you've said many times, and by the way, we're not giving medical advice, we're not prescribing anything. Everyone who listens to this can consult their own doctor.
Yes.
But what are some of the high inflammatory foods that you would suggest to your patients to avoid?
Okay, so I'm going to give the answer that I give to all my students and clients, which is it depends. And it depends on your body, which brings us back to that yes, no, maybe. And I know it sounds like I'm talking in riddles, but this is the truth of bioindividuality. And yes. I just want to say, like when I said with genes, there was a circle or a soil or a terrain, and that was food, movement, environment, and mindset. The circle or the terrain that surrounds inflammation is to clear, calm, enhance, and modulate. And that's our immune system, clear, calm, enhance, and modulate. So yes, I might need to clear a food, and I'll talk about the top inflammatory foods in a moment, but I might need to clear a food, but I might need to clear a negative relationship from my life or a negative thought from my life or a kind of exercise that isn't serving me because it's putting my body in a stress state or cold plunges or butter in my coffee. I might need to clear something other than gluten. The really important part of that equation, clear, calm, enhance, and modulate. That's our inflammation and immune system, is calm. And if we are constantly chasing and we're in a sympathetic dominant state, sympathetic dominance is fight or flight.
This is
if I'm in that state, I cannot heal. And I want to say to everybody, when we're chasing the fix, what's the next thing? What am I supposed to do? Should I be taking that? Am I supposed to take that supplement? Do this diet that worked for this person? That is hypervigilance. We won't heal in that state. So I can tell you the common top inflammatory foods, but I'd rather people understand what's true for them.
You're saying it's important to get out of your sympathetic and your parasympathetic rest and digest nervous system, because we can't heal. And I know a lot of people who listen to this show are high achieving women. They're not only chasing, you know, supplements, and, you know, they're chasing success and romance and travel, and they're in a constant state of acquiring and chasing.
Yes.
Rather than staying calm. So what are some daily rituals or habits? I know we're going to get, we'll circle back to some inflammatory foods.
Yes.
Maybe we'll do the inflammatory food. Okay. Talk about some daily habits or rituals to stay calm, because I think that's really important.
Yeah. So inflammatory foods, I'm just going to start with refined foods, refined sugars. Those are inflammatory. They're difficult for the body to process. So if we start really broad, you know, in my life, I'm not encountering a lot of people in my practice who are eating refined foods or highly processed foods, but that's not true for all of us. So let's just say the refined foods are definitely going to be inflammatory. And by refined foods, I mean highly processed or ultra processed foods that live in the middle shelves of the aisles of the store, or are, you know, quick convenient foods. So refined sugar is usually top for me, but refined foods goes in there. Also, gluten can be very inflammatory, especially for any of us struggling with a chronic health condition. But again, we don't want to go from removing gluten to all the gluten-free foods that are available today that are highly refined. So we want to have the skill set to be able to replace, enhance, and really know that we're bringing good foods in if we take something like that out. And I want to recognize that's not a diet. Like, I don't need gluten, and it's not an issue for me. I don't even think about it.
It's gluten-free. Doesn't mean it's healthy.
Correct.
You could get a gluten-free muffin that has tons of refined sugar in it.
Correct.
So you mentioned sugar and gluten. Okay.
Exactly. And then cow dairy can be very inflammatory. So like, those are the top three. And then we can, you know, people are specific. They might have things that are inflammatory for them. It could be eggs or shellfish or whatever. There's other foods, but those tend to be the top three that, if we get the support and have the skills to be able to remove them, we can feel better and have a new baseline. But that doesn't come easily for everybody.
Now, my second part of the question was, what are some daily practices that you do or that you recommend your clients do to stay calm so that their body can actually heal?
Yeah. So again, very bio-individual. What works for you? I'm always going to help people discern what their notion of calm is. And I want to go back to something you and I talked about earlier, which was joy. So joy really does feed and fuel us and brings us calm as well. So tuning into where that comes from. For me, it's starting my morning in a slower way, not engaging with my Slack and my email and my social media right away. It's taking the time to meditate, even if it's a short amount of time, 5 or 10 minutes, to tune into myself before the day starts. Sometimes on Mondays, I pull tarot cards. I have fun with that because it kind of gives me a little focus for the week ahead. I like short practices where I don't feel like I'm biting off more than I can chew. So I say no to it. So I like 3 10-minute things in my morning. I stand on a vibration plate every morning. I love standing on a vibration plate and feeling the vibration. I meditate. I might pull my cards or just sit in silence. I go to dance class 4 times a week. Like that for me.
What kind of dance?
It's sort of a mix between, I would say, funk, hip hop, and burlesque. It's just fun. It's just, there's like 50 people in the room, all different shapes, sizes, ages. It's just a good time. And in that time, and this comes back to the calm, even though I'm working hard and it's aerobic, I don't have to make decisions. Mm. Somebody else is doing the choreography and I'm moving my body. And for that hour, on those days, I am not the boss lady and the high achiever. I am just dancing. And so noticing where it might be going out with girlfriends or having a date night with your partner, what is calm inducing for you, which is going to be different for all of us, but making sure you make room for that. I have a way of looking at things where I talk about the non-negotiables, sleep, poop, blood sugar balance, and whatever's true for you, and deficiency to sufficiency. And when I think about deficiency, sometimes it's in joy or relaxation or, you know, laughter. It doesn't have to be that our deficiency is in fiber or vitamin D. Like, it's also the things that we can find for ourselves and bring in and nourish ourselves because they are nourishing to us.
I really love your holistic response. So deficiency and sufficiency, it could be in joy, unscheduled downtime,
cuddles,
sex. Anything yep. that makes life beautiful.
Yes.
Are you open for some fun rapid fire wrap-up questions?
Yes.
Okay. One food that changed your life.
Oh, wow. That's a tough one. The one that came to mind was flax, but I don't know why, but I'm going to just say flax.
Okay. Like flaxseed oil or flax seeds?
I love them both, but I, you know, lately I've been really loving my flax seeds, my ground flax seeds.
And how do you put them in a smoothie? Do you put them in oatmeal? How do you take them?
Yes. And yes, oatmeal smoothie, just sometime in the morning. And I think they're just so transformative because they just keep things moving. Like it just feels like things move and they're also helping with the hormones.
What is your go-to smoothie recipe?
I love a smoothie that has frozen bananas, spinach, and prunes in it. Yeah, it's really good and it gets the sweetness going, but also has all the different nutrients in there.
What is a morning ritual that you will never skip, even on vacation?
Oh, I end up skipping them on vacation.
What about tea? Do you do coffee?
I do. There you go. That was a good one. My matcha. I do have a matcha every morning.
Okay, great.
Yes.
And if you could give one message to every single person listening right now about their body, what would it be?
I would say to remember that you have a pharmacy within your very own body.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Andrea, for your life work, this beautiful integration of mind, body, spirit, health. It's absolutely inspiring to me. And I know my listeners are going to want to stay in touch with you online and find your website and any other things that you have for us. So how can we find you?
You can find me at Andrea Nakayama in all the places, LinkedIn, Instagram, and at andreanakayama.com.
Thank you so much, Andrea, for being on the show. Thank you, listeners, for going on the journey with me, knowing that you can find a life of success and joy through aligning your life in 7 pillars. It is not about the hustle and grind. It is about finding joy in the moment, in your spiritual life, your physical life, your emotional, romantic, mental, social, and financial life. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone. And now another 5-star review. Ashara Ingrath calls this the real deal. She says, Rebecca hosts clearly the best and the brightest experts in the field of spirituality, all whom lay out keys to hack into what could be my best life. So much gold in each episode. After listening to just one, I walked away feeling guided, inspired, and secure. I feel confident I can tread the spiritual path, armored with the knowledge this podcast brings, and face whatever challenges may arrive. I can create whatever life I dream. Well, thank you so much for the beautiful review. And yes, you can, Ashara.